Yeah, name is Christ. We commence our fourth session of studying the prayer of our forefathers. Let's think about Genesis chapter 13. Genesis chapter 13. I think many of us know that Abraham, he was the father of faith. And there's many reasons why he's the father of faith. Even though he was a father of faith, but he also had many weaknesses that God had to train him to be stronger. So we can study from Abraham the way he prayed to God and what kind of relationship he had with God. Let's go to Genesis chapter 13, verse 1 to verse 4. Genesis 13, verse 1 to verse 4. Then Abram went up from Egypt, he and his wife, and all that he had, and Lot with him to the south. Verse 2. Abram was very rich in livestock, in silver, and in gold. Verse 3. And he went on his journey from the south as far as Bethel, to the place where his tent had been at the beginning, between Bethel and Ai. Verse 4. To the place of the altar which he had made there at first, and there Abram called on the name of the Lord. So we can see God called Abraham from the land of Ur, that is his land of his fathers. And then God told him to go to the land of milk and honey. But during that time, Abraham did not know where he's going. But he dropped everything. Then he went to a journey where God wanted him to be. And then he ended up in Egypt. And out of Egypt, of course, he left in chapter 13, verse 1. Then he went up from Egypt and his wife, and he also took Lot with him. And in the beginning, we can see in verse 2 that Abraham was very rich in livestock and silver and in gold, but it never mentioned that Lot was rich. But Lot was with Abraham during that time. So when we continue to read on in these verses, and we can see that he went where? He went between Bethel and Ai, and he went to a place where he built an altar before. Build an altar before, what does it represent nowadays for you and I? What does it mean to build an altar? What does it mean to build an altar? Do you guys build an altar nowadays? You know? What is an altar nowadays for you and I? For example, does any one of you have family altar? Family altar, right? How many of you have family altar at home? Okay, so what do you do in family altar? Okay, you study the Bible and you pray, right? So you do have an altar, right? And you do the same thing too? You have all, yeah, same thing, right? Same thing for you guys too? Any one of you have family altar? Sisters, any family altars? Oh, you definitely need to build a family altar. Even though that is your parents' responsibility, but it doesn't mean that you cannot build an altar. In the sense that you must spend time in the morning to pray and to read God's word. Because without reading God's word, without praying to Him every single day, then the decision that you and I make in life will be the wrong one. So that's why here I want to share with you. Look how Lot makes his decision and how Abraham make his decision. Everywhere that Abraham went, he built an altar. An altar is the place that where Abraham meet his God, just like nowadays. An altar is where you and I communicate with our God. So even though your parents maybe do not have altars at home, but you yourself should build an altar. Because all of you here are old enough already to communicate. That is very important. Please, I hope that after IHTS, that when you go home, you build an altar to the Lord. Because if you don't build the altar to the Lord, and then all the decisions that you make in your life, quite often would not be the right one. Why? Because just like Lot, look at Lot. And look at verse 6, chapter 13, verse 6. Now the land was not able to support them, that they might dwell together, for their possessions were so great that they could not dwell there together. So we see during this time, because Lot went with Abraham, God also blessed him. So both of them became so rich to the point that they cannot stay together. And then, look at verse 7. And there was strife between the herdsmen of Abraham's livestock and the herdsmen of Lot's livestock, the Canaanites and the Perizzites that dwell in that land. Verse 8. So Abraham said to Lot, "Please let there be no strife between you and me, and between my herdsmen and your herdsmen, for we are brethren." So we can see this time there's a quarrel, right? There's strife between Abraham herdsmen and Lot herdsmen. If you were Lot and you have to deal with this situation, how would you deal with it? Think about this, right? When Lot came out with Abraham, he had nothing. Not because of his uncle, Abraham, he had everything. But now he herdsmen, and Abraham herdsmen, they had a quarrel, they had a strife, they fought one another. But if you were Lot, how would you respond to this? Think about this, right? Actually, from the beginning, Lot, he did not make the right decision. Because during this time, he should have gone to his herdsmen and say to them, "You should not fight, right, with my uncle herdsmen. Because everything that we have is from him." That is the first thing he should have done. But actually, Lot, he has his own ways of doing things. And he has his own goal he wants to reach. But he does not realize that with Abraham, God blessed him with everything. And then Abraham said to him, "There should not be a fight right between you and me." And then look at verse 9. "Is not the whole land before you? Please separate from me. If you take the left, then I will go to the right. If you go to the right, then I will go to the left." If you were Lot during this time, what would you say to Abraham? Brother, what would you say to your uncle Abraham if you were Lot? Yes. Okay, that's what Abraham said to him, right? But now Abraham said, now we get to separate our ways, right? Then if you take the left, I will take the right. If you take the right, I will take the left. Then what would you say to Abraham? Please do you tell them to choose first, right? That's very smart, right? You understand? Because what happened, Lot, he cannot see that God, the one that blessed him because of Abraham. So because of this, if you choose first, then you might choose the wrong one. You understand? Because God always going to bless Abraham. So that's why the first thing that Lot should have done, "No, uncle, you choose first. But you are my uncle, right? You are my elder, you are my uncle. You choose first. And then after you choose first, and even if you don't choose, tell me which one I should choose. Do you understand? Tell me which one I should choose." But Lot did not do that, right? Lot did not do that. If Lot would ask Abraham, "No, I don't want to separate from you. And plus, if I have to go, then you tell me which way to go, then I will go." This is very important. So nowadays, right, I know that many of you, of course, you have your own minds, you can make your own decision. But the important things in life, make sure you ask your parents. Make sure you ask your uncle, your auntie, to see which way is best for you. Because at your age, I'm telling you, when I was 15, 16 years old, I'm thinking now, I was so stupid, really, right? The things that I choose to do during that time. But you must ask people who are older than you, especially the one who are closer to God. If you see your parents been blessed so much by God, why not ask them for their opinion? If you see your uncle and auntie been blessed so much by God, why not ask them for their opinions? And the reason quite often that you and I don't have this kind of practice, because we are not close to God. If we are close to God, we will go and seek for the man or woman of God. But for Lot here, This is the greatest decision that he had to make in his whole life. And he made the wrong one. Why? Because even though Abraham built an altar, did they say Lot built an altar? No. Right? It never said that Lot built an altar. This means he has no relationship with God himself. So the same thing for all of you. Even though you are young, even though your parents are the one right now should be, you know, spiritually feeding you, spiritually taking care of you, but it's not too early for you to build your own altar. This is so important. This is so important. Build your own relationship with your God. Remember, God is the God of Abraham, and then a God of what? God of Abraham, God of Isaac, God of what? Jacob. Why they always mention God is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? Why? What's that? Yes, because every single one of them, God is their personal God. You understand? They all build an altar to God themselves. So we also must do that. Even for my family, the same thing too. I mean, my nephew, right? He just turned 10 years old. Several days ago, and every morning, right, he get up by himself. He get up at 6:30. You know what he does? The first thing he get up. Okay, he brushes teeth and stuff, right? We don't take care of him. He take care of himself. Since he was 6 years old, he took care of himself. And then in the morning, when he was younger, we used to go down and pray with him. Every morning we pray with him. Sometimes 20 minutes, sometimes 30 minutes. Or you think a five-year-old kid cannot do it? They can do it. And now, I think when he reaches around 8 years old, every morning, he brushes his teeth, you know, comb his hair, whatever, go downstairs. Then he eat breakfast. Then he pray himself. By himself every single morning. And you think that, wow, it's only 8 years old. How can he do that? Actually, every one of us are capable of doing it. He does his own laundry too. At that age, he does his own laundry. If he be able to use the iPad, right, and serve the internet, this and that, I'm sure he can use the washing machine, right? Quite often, your parents think, oh, laundry, that's too difficult, this and that, right? Actually, the laundry, right, to control is much easier than iPad, right? Right, than the DSi, right, and all those things. The DSi, when you get out, like, what is going on with this thing, right? There's so many functions, right? He can figure out very easy, right? You guys know what DSi is? Oh, you guys don't? It's a computer game, right? No, this DSi, this is a small one. Yeah, it's very small. Yeah, the portable one, right? Yeah. Okay, I'm not too, but that's what it is. That's what they say on the DSi, right? So he knows how to do all those things. You understand? So because of this, now every morning he get up by himself, he take care of himself, including praying. And you know every day what he does? He had to read the Bible every day after school. When he come back home, he read the Bible half an hour. He had to write essay and everything that he read. Before I came here, he wrote 5 pages essay on the Bible at 9 years old. And you read, sometimes I learn from his writing, you understand? Only at that age, I learn from his writing. So this means all of you are capable of building the altar for yourself. Yes, your parents love you very much, but sometimes they are very busy, right? If you always have to wait for them to tell you to pray, tell you to read, and then what happens when you die tomorrow? Your parents going to be there and argue with God with you? Oh, my kids, I didn't take care of them, so you have to let them go into eternal life. No. At this age, you must build your own altar. It's very important. So that's why for Lot, I don't know how old he was during this time, but I'm sure he's old enough. But he never built an altar to the Lord. And that was the biggest mistake that he made. He did not learn from his uncle. And then, look. I mean, can you imagine if you were Abraham, right? And if you were Abraham's wife, or you Abraham's servant, you just feel, Abraham, why do you allow Lot to choose first? He's your nephew. You're the one that took care of him all these years. Why do you allow him to choose first? If he choose first, he would take the best land. Right? If he choose first, right? He would choose the best land. Noah would choose the worst land and then give you the best one if you had first to choose, right? But Abraham, he did not choose the land with his physical eyesight. Let's compare these two verses together. Look at verse 10, chapter 13, verse 10. And Lot lifted up his eyes and saw all the plain of the Jordan. There was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, like the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt as you go toward Zoar. And now, let's compare to verse 14. And the Lord said to Abram, after Lot had separated from him, lift your eyes now and look from the place where you are, northward, southward, eastward, and westward. Compare these two verses together. Who told Lot to lift up his eyes? Who told Lot to lift up his eyes? Who told Lot to lift up his eyes? No one. So when he lifted his eyes in his own accord, you understand? He lifted his eye to see with his own will, his own way, you understand? But who told Abraham to lift up his eyes? Who told Abraham? God. Do you understand, right? Just that alone. Because if you lift up your eyes to see the land, you will see everything according to your own will. And what is that will? It's only the physical aspect of things, right? So this means when Lot lifts up his eyes, of course, outwardly he can see what? The land, right? The plain of Jordan is very well watered. And when he sees the plain of Jordan, he can even compare, it's like the garden of the Lord. And then when he sees the plain of Jordan, he says, wow, it's just like Egypt when you go to Sur, right? Just like Egypt. But when God lifts up, told Abraham to lift up his eyes, what did he see? What did he see? What did he see? What did he see? What did Abraham see when he lifted up his eyes? Okay, he saw the land. What is that land that Abraham saw? Did it describe right there? No. You know where you find out what he saw? In the book of Hebrews, right? Let's go to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. Look at verse 9. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 9 and verse 10. By faith he dwelt in the land of promise, as in foreign country, dwelling in the tent with Isaac and Jacob, the heir which with him of the same promise. Verse 10. For he waited for the city which has foundation, whose builder and maker is God. You see what he sees? He sees the things that no one can see with the physical eyesight. What he saw, actually, that promised land. And that promised land, he's transcended beyond just the physical aspect. What is he looking for here? What is Abraham looking for? What's Abraham looking for? What's Abraham looking for? Yes. Yes. A city that the builder and founder is God himself. And what is that city? That is eternal life. That is eternal life. So quite often, when you and I lift our eyes to see things, if we never build an altar to God, and when we see things, we will not see beyond what's in front of us. The physical things in front of us. But when you and I build an altar, when we communicate with God, when we pray to God, because the Holy Spirit, it comes from heaven. So when we are filled with God's Spirit, everything we see are the things in heaven, not the things on earth. Do you understand? And that's why it's so important when we talk about the prayer of our forefathers. When they communicate with God, they see beyond the things that human can see, just like nowadays. Right? Many people only can see what's in front of them. I mean, if you have really good eyesight, you only see 20/20, right? And some people can see a little bit better than that, but 20/20, that's it, perfect eyesight. If it's only 20/20, what can you really see? Right now, I ask you to choose. Okay, which block do you want, right? The block in front of you, the block on the side of you, or to the right of you, or to the right of me, and to the back of me, right? And how can you choose? If you just stand here, actually it's very difficult, right? Because you cannot see. Maybe the house on the left side is all junk. Actually, maybe all the houses behind those walls are all really nice. We do not know. Maybe only a couple of houses nice, and beyond that is all junk, right? So in our life, it's also like this, brothers and sisters. So when we lift our eyes to choose your school, your career, your family, you must allow God to tell you to lift up your eyes and look. When God tells you to lift up your eyes and look, and then your decision will be the right one. For me, you know, of course, since I was young, I had many decisions to make, right? And I think one decision that I made that I really praise and thank God I made the right one is find the right wife, right? Because before I came to know Jesus Christ, you know, that I was, I dated different women, right? I even dated Miss Massachusetts during that time, right? Yeah, I was quite handsome when I was young, you know? But now I'm just old now, right? And I date Levi's model, Levi Jeans model, Benetton model, this and that, right? Of all those women, I chose my wife. Of course, my wife, she's beautiful to me now, right? But, you know, physically, outwardly, actually compared to all the other girls I date, actually she was nothing. But I really praise and thank God because God really put in my heart, right, to choose her to be my wife, and she's the best wife. Why? Because as ministers, you know, you travel everywhere, and my wife, she's very independent, and she doesn't nag, right? My wife doesn't nag. And that's, you know, for me, I don't like, if I have a wife who's nagging, oh, I would have headaches all the time, right? So sister, don't nag your husband too much when you marry, right? You got to be strong, you got to be independent, right? Of course, you know your husband, how to make him happy, then, you know, you do whatever you can, right? But when I'm leaving for so many months all the time, and if she's not independent, and she's always lonely, then she's always going to call me and sad and all crying stuff all the time. And how can I do my work, right? I cannot. And plus, she hates shopping. My wife does not like shopping, and she doesn't like to wear jewelry, right? That kind of stuff. So it's perfect for me, thank God, right? I'm not saying jewelry is wrong, right? If you like to wear jewelry and your husband can afford it, yeah, go ahead, right? It's good, right? But how would I know back then? I did not know. But God just moved my heart, because I did not know I was going to be a minister, right? I didn't even know God back then. How would I know? But God foreknew everything. God foreknew everything. So that's why for all of you, you are in Christ. And the future ahead of you should be so clear that every decision you make should be the right one. You choose a college, make sure you choose a college where the church is going to be. And even if there's no church, make sure there's brother and sister there so you can have some kind of fellowship with them. Why? Because when you go to a new place, you need to have this kind of fellowship, because if not, then you will sin against God, then that's it. Your life will be ruined. Let's go back to Genesis. Genesis. You can see Lot lift up his eyes. And when they say it was well watered, it was like the garden of the Lord, it's like the land of Egypt. So what did he see when he say all these things? What did he see?
Did he know that God can destroy Sodom and Gomorrah? Did he know? No. He did not know. He did not know that God can destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. Because this was before God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. So that's why. But there's one thing that he knew was what? What did he know about Sodom and Gomorrah? What did he know? Or what did he know about Sodom and Gomorrah before he moved there? What did he know? Read a couple more verses ahead, right? What did he know about Sodom and Gomorrah during that time? Yes. He knew that the people in Sodom and Gomorrah, right? Verse what? Verse 15, right? No, not verse 15. I'm sorry, verse 13, right? But the men of Sodom were exceedingly, not just wicked, exceedingly wicked and sinful against the Lord. And I'm sure he knew this already. He knew this already. But he still wanted to take his chances. So the same thing for you and I. Quite often we make choices in our lives. If we don't build an altar, we don't communicate with God all the time. So we always feel like I can take chances and everything can be okay. Look how many brothers and sisters have gone to college and have fallen from the grace of God already. And look how many came to IHTS last year? How many? Four? Is it four? Five? Yeah, she was okay. Six, seven, eight, nine, ten. There's 10 that came last year. What happened to the rest? And when you go to NYTS, after the first year NYTS, only about 10% or 15% come back to NYTS afterward. And if you look at pictures, right? So we're going to take pictures next week sometime, right? Then every year you look at pictures, how many brothers are still in church and how many brothers have gone astray. It's quite a lot. My first NYTS in 1999, that's 15 years ago, right? 15 years ago. If you look at all the participants in NYTS, a lot of them don't come to church no more. They are gone. They are gone. Why? Because the choices they have made. So that's why, for me, I really encourage all of you. Right now, do not focus on, you know, boyfriend and girlfriend kind of stuff. Those things will kill you. Because you are too young for those kind of stuff. When should you have a boyfriend and girlfriend? When should you have a boyfriend and girlfriend, brother? Okay, the end of college and start job. You should never have girlfriend and boyfriend, okay? Only when you get married. Before you get married, that's when, right? That's when you pick your spouse. Do you understand? So, believe right now, if you have a girlfriend and boyfriend, you think you're going to end up marrying them? What do you think? The chances for you to marry up your high school sweetheart, right? What are the chances? Huh? Actually, the chances, very, very, very little. Very little. And then if you guys date outside the church, first, you shouldn't date anyway, right? Of course, you can go out in a group, this and that, right? But still, you have to be very careful because Satan, he's the best assassin. Well, he's the best assassin. He will come and kill all of you. And quite often for guys, usually, he will what? Use girls, right, to kill you guys, right? Just like he used Eve to kill Adam. You understand? Satan, the serpent did not go to Adam directly. You understand? Because Adam would know, hey, come on, man, I don't want to talk to a wild beast. Get away from me, right? But talk to Eve. Of course, it was his wife. He cannot not talk to his wife. You understand? Then, of course, that's how Satan used them. So you have to be very, very careful. So that's why when you guys ready to be married, and when you're ready to be married, when?
Joseph, what do you think? When you should be ready to be married? When do you know you're ready to be married? Yes. You don't know. Okay. And that's a good answer. You're too young to know. You understand? You understand? You're too young to know. What about sisters? When do you think you're ready to get married? What do you guys think? So if you guys are not ready to get married, why would you date? What do you date for? Why would you date for, right? To kill yourself. That's what it is, right? To kill yourself. You understand? To kill yourself. So the time that you are ready to get married, when you what? Spiritually mature. Right? And financially mature. And physically mature. This means you leave your mother and your father and you can take care of yourself. That's when you're ready to get married. And sometime in your 20s, you can, right? You can be mature in your 20s. And sometime you're 50 years old, you're still not mature. Right? Just the way it is. Right? So that's why these three criteria. If you're spiritually mature, this means you build your altar to God. And you can build your family altar to God also. And financially, you don't go to your parents for money, right? You are independent. Because why? Because now you're able to be married, then you can take care of your spouse. I mean, my wife take care of me, right? So thank God for that, right? So sometimes the same thing. Maybe your wife in the future, she may make more money than you. It's okay. As long as both of you, right, when you get together, you are mature. But of course, spiritually, you cannot let your wife take care of you. You understand? Because God ordained for a husband to be the head of the household. This is very important. Right? That's why I'm always very excited when I see more brothers and sisters come to this kind of seminar. But when you get older, quite often brothers never come to church. Always sisters. Like during spiritual convocation, you see all the sisters are the ones that come much more than brothers. You go to Africa, the same thing too. You have spiritual convocation in Africa. If there's 50 people, maybe it's only 5 to 10 brothers. The rest are all sisters. But now it's good, right? There should be more brothers and less sisters. Why? Because you guys are the head of the household, spiritually speaking. You must be the one. They didn't say Sarah built an altar. Right? Abraham built an altar. Isaac built an altar. Jacob built an altar. Not their wives. But nowadays, you can see many wives had to build an altar because their husband cannot do it. And it is not right according to God's teaching, right? According to God's teaching. So make sure these three things, right? Spiritually mature, financially mature, and physically mature. This means you can be independent of your parents. Right? Leave your mother and your father and be joined to your spouse. And that's when you know you're ready to get married. But right now, there's no way you guys can do that, right? How many of you work? How many of you guys work? Okay. David work? Anyone of you guys? Oh, you guys are so blessed. How about you? You guys work? Justine, the only one that's working. No. Two, right? Two working. I started working since I was 9 years old. So I'm 42 now. How long have I been working already? 30-something years, 32 years already I've been working, right? You guys are blessed, really. You guys are blessed. Why? Because just going to school and focusing your school and your faith, don't need to work, that's so wonderful, really. So wonderful. That's why I told my nieces, right, when they came to live with me, I said, look, if you guys want to go to college, you must have a good scholarship. If not, sorry, uncle cannot help you. Right? Because I went to college, I had to work 60, 70 hours a week. I had to pay for my own college. And that, of course, back then was very tough for me, right? But now, all they need to do, they don't need to work, they just need to study. It should be very simple, study, right? That's why, really, all the bad habits that you guys have, especially playing video games, for sister maybe chatting and stuff like that, I'm not saying video games playing is wrong, I'm not saying chatting is wrong. But you put so many hours in those things, it may ruin your brain cell, right? So that's why the most hours you put in your life right now is for God, then for your family, and then, of course, for yourself, for your school and things like that. But don't reverse the other way, right?
Quite often, we always put ourselves first, like playing video games more than anything, chatting this more than anything, right? And I see, because sometimes my wife, she goes on Facebook, and when she posts something, right, and there's some youth right away like it, right? It's like 30 seconds later, like, what are they doing on a computer? I mean, they're just there staring at it, you know? I don't have Facebook anymore, right? But it's so quick, because you're always on it. Can you imagine if you're so, you know, quick when it comes to studying the Bible, right? Every time I ask you a question, you're like, it's right in here, right? It's right in here, right? Every time we say, come up and pray, you guys just rush up here, right? Kneel down and pray, right? That would be so wonderful, but then we would be waking up from our dream, right? Because why? Because when we try to be spiritually strong, Satan did not allow us to do it. But if you want to do something that is bad, Satan will help you. Come here, I'll help you to do it. You understand? So that's why we must have this kind of wisdom. So that's why, look at Lot. Even though the people were wicked, he knew that. But where did he build his tent? Where did he build his tent? Where? Yes, verse 12, right? Verse 12. Abram dwelt in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelt in the city of the plain, and pitched his tent even as far as Sodom. What does it mean when a person pitched his tent? What does it mean? Yes, he lived there. His family lived there. His whole life is there. Where did he pitch his tent? In Sodom and Gomorrah, where the people are exceedingly wicked. So for us, we live in this world, but we do not conform to the people in this world. And for us, do we live in this world? Do we live in this world? Yes, we live in this world. But actually, our home is not in this world. Our home is in the world to come. Our home is in the heavenly places. So that's why our hope, we should never ever put our hope in this world. In this world, what is their hope in this world? Because everything in this world one day will be destroyed. Just like Sodom and Gomorrah. Lot put his hope in Sodom and Gomorrah. But he did not know it was going to be destroyed. But you and I know that God is going to come to this world and destroy everything. And why we have to put so much hope in this world? We should not. But at the same time, we must do what we need to do, right? We must go to school, go to work, have a career, pay a mortgage, all those things. We must do all those things. But we do everything for God even better. And that is our focus. And that is our focus. Because we know that God is going to destroy this world. When you reach in your 40s or in your 50s, you realize what's important in your life. Really. Right now, maybe the most important thing, what, for you to go to school and do well, right? Can you imagine at 40 years old, you're still going to school? That's quite sad, you understand? And then when you get out of college, what thing that you want to do, you want to be in college. I mean, you want to get a good job, right? Can you imagine if you're 7 years old, you're still working? That's also very sad, you understand? So you can see, actually, the perspective in life, it changes as we grow older. I mean, for me, when I was younger, of course, I have a lot of expectation for myself. I want to do this, I want to do that. Now, all I want to do that one day, I can retire and live with my wife in a one-bedroom house or apartment and just be calm and be quiet. That's it. When I was young, I wasn't like that. I want to be a professional football player, right? I want to do this, I want to do that. I want to gain the whole world, and now I just want to gain one-bedroom apartment with my wife, that's it. And I will be very content. Because the most precious thing in life is not to gain all those things, but to truly have peace and joy inside your heart. And that's what's important, brothers and sisters. Because I know plenty of people who are filthy rich, but they're alcoholic, addicted to drugs. Why? Because they don't have that peace and joy inside their heart. But I know some poor people that have nothing, but they are so joyful, they are so peaceful. Yeah, when I go to Africa, I learn so much from our brother and sister there. Because our brother and sister in Africa, quite often, they can go 2-3 days without eating food, right? There's nothing to eat. So I remember one time I brought some Ritz cracker with me, right? When I was going there. So I thought I want to give the Ritz cracker only for little kids. But when I pulled out of my bag and all the parents came in and pushed the kids away, right? They want some Ritz cracker too, right? Because I have enough, thank God, for all of them. So I gave them like each one Ritz cracker, right? You guys eat crackers? Right, Ritz cracker is pretty good, right? Especially the salted one, it's pretty good, right? But if you would have seen the way the little kids eat those crackers, I couldn't believe it. When they received the cracker, they were so joyful. You understand? I don't think I ever see any youth here in America are that joyful. Right? Even your parents give you a car and get laid on, you're not going to be that joyful. You understand? It's indescribable. That little boy got a Ritz cracker, and then he looked at it like this, right? There's something is so wonderful. He looked at it. Then he ate it. He just like this. Little by little, right? Why? Because he's enjoying it, right? Every little crumb that goes in his mouth, he wants to be able to taste it. You understand? And that time, I can't help but to shed tears. Like, wow. Just like Pastor Yeshua, actually at 5 years old, they go out, right, to take care of the farm. None of them have shoes. None of them have shoes. But their feet are so strong, right? They can walk all the dead, over the dead stump, right? At 5, 6 years old, without hurting their feet, right? If you guys just go out there, walk on the cement, you'd be all yelling and screaming, right? Because it's pretty hot out there. For them, there's no such thing. Because why? The callus on their feet is like so thick. Right? It's so thick. And they run with no shoes, right? Of course, I'm spoiled too. When I go there, yeah, I have to put my hiking shoes on, right? There's no way I can walk bare feet in the countryside, things like that, right? Thing is, of course, you're afraid of snakes. You know, snakes always bite way down there, right? But those kids, they don't care, right? Their feet and stuff like that. So that's why for us, really, think about our lives. Because all of you are so blessed, right? All of you are so blessed. And the reason all of you are so blessed because God is with your parents and God is with you. So, but the best thing you and I can do is to glorify His name. Really live a life that, you know, to put Him first. And make the right decision, because if we have built an altar to the Lord, if we always communicate and pray to God, we always going to make the right decision. Now let's kneel down and pray together and conclude our morning's services. Let's kneel down and pray together.